Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John. John chapter 16. Let us first sing from Psalter 244, stanzas 2 and 5. Each succeeding generation at thy mighty word appears, and thou dost count in time's duration one day as a thousand years. Death with swift and sudden warning calls us from life's dream away. Like the grass green in the morning, withered ere the close of day. Psalter 244, stanzas 2 and 5.
Before we read the portion of God's Word, John chapter 16, we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asked me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father had are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this, that he saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he said, a little while? We cannot tell what he said. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while? And ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning the mourning family of Mr. Walter Vandenbroek of the Lethbridge congregation, who passed away on Thursday, May 29th, at the age of 57 years. Mr. and Mrs. Justin Braun, who were blessed with a well-born boy in this past week. And also Mrs. Harry DePuter, who is still in the hospital in Lethbridge. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of the earth, of whom that we have heard together in this past week, and that thou hast ascended on high, and that thou hast taken thy place on the right hand of God. Thou who sittest upon the throne of glory, and thou who hast all things given into thine hand, all might and all power, and that thou doest all things according to thy own will. Thou also hast brought to pass what has been decreed even from eternity, but which has taken place so suddenly among us as a community once again, but also a family that is in our midst, and thou knowest all that has taken place in the recent past, and also over the years that have gone by within that family, so that they have stood so many times by that open grave. And now that a calling is coming unto them again in such a sudden way, oh, that thou may remember the mourning family, the wife, the children in a special way, oh, that thou may be near and dear unto them in this way which is so impossible for our flesh. For thou knowest that we cannot miss one another, a dear husband, a beloved father. Oh, that thou wouldst take the place of that husband in the heart of that widow, and also the place of that father in the hearts of those children. And could it please thee to bless and to sanctify this way, which is so difficult for our flesh, and which is so against our will? Then we by nature raise our fist to heaven, and then this is not the way that we would have it to go. But, when thou wilt give that blessed submission to thy holy will, then it is possible that they become so quiet under the dealings which thou hast to them as a family. Oh, that thou may remember them all together. Oh, that their hearts may be silent under thy judgments, that their mouths may go closed before thee, and that there may yet be amongst them a still small voice that is speaking to their hearts, that they may feel something of the power of thy Holy Spirit, and that there may come that blessed drawing, that may draw unto thee, for that will be a relation that will never see a separation to all eternity. Oh, bind this matter upon the hearts of each and every one of us. Thou knowest the hardness of our hearts. Thou knowest how ignorant that we are. Oh, then there is no place for thy word, and there is no place for the callings that are coming so loudly unto us day by day. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. O Lord, that we may be given, even in this day, to feel something of that arrow of thy Holy Spirit penetrating our hearts. O, that we could not let thy word go anymore, that the callings may be sanctified and blessed also unto us as a community, as a congregation, and that thou thyself may stop us in our mad career. Oh, that thou would turn us about, and that thou would cause our hearts again to seek after the true and the living God. Oh, that there may come a people who have to die and that are not able to die, and who do not dare to stand before the judgment seat of God. All that may seek to be prepared in this short time of preparation, all that we may receive eyes to see, and that there is but a step between us and death, that we may learn to hasten for our life's sake, all that we may learn to do as thou didst command a lot of old. Look not behind you, but escape while it is called today. Oh, that thou may remember us in thy mercy. Remember young and old together. Lord, thou hast also given life. Then we can see that one generation passes away and another generation cometh. Oh, wilt thou remember the mother and the child together whom thou hast spared? Thou hast given that new life a first child and grandchild. Oh, wilt thou humble those parents and grandparents, all of them together? Oh, that thou may give that it may be a child that is born to be born again, and that we also with our children may be given to seek while it is still a day of grace. And while our children are still young, that we perish not, Lord, that thou may remember all the afflicted and the sick ones also, for those callings are also coming to young and old in our midst. Many children among us that must see doctors and nurses and that must be cared for. Oh, thou knowest where that they are. Oh, that thou may remember them in the days of their youth, that thou may bless these ways for their young souls, but also when we have become older, for thou knowest her that lieth in the hospital. Wilt thou look upon her in this thy holy day and to grant her a blessing upon thy Sabbath day? Oh, when she cannot be in the midst of us, but thou hast brought her to that place, and thou art not bound to time or to place. Wilt thou heal her also in her body? Oh, that thou may strengthen her in her great weakness. Thou knowest all that is necessary. Help the doctors, give them wisdom. And could it please thee to spare her for her husband and children, and bring her safely home again at thy appointed time? But oh, that thou may also teach each and every one of us to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Oh, that thou may look upon thy church. May they also be in the midst of us. Oh, that we also may not be strangers of thy work, of thy leadings, of thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may look upon us in this day. O, when we will go forward to bring thy word and to hear thy word, and thou knowest how insufficient that we are in and of ourselves. O, thou knowest how that from our side there is no power. Oh, then we look upon to thee in this morning hour to beseech thee for an undeserved blessing. Oh, when we would have to lay before thee something that could merit it. Oh, when we would have to lay before thee some reason in ourself, some merit from our side. And wherefore thou couldst look upon us in this morning and in this day. Oh, then what could we lay before thee? For all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and thou knowest that they are in addition to all our unrighteousnesses. Oh, thou knowest what takes place in the most secret chamber of our hearts, and what comes forth from our lips, and what is taking place in our lives. Lord, thou knowest the sin of commission, and thou knowest the sin of omission. so that there is not one of us, young or old, that is able to put our hand into our own bosom and to take it out clean in this morning hour. And then there is not one of us that has one thing to lay before thee. Oh, we beseech thee only upon the merits of thine only begotten Son. Oh, Lord, we ask thee and that thou wouldst look upon him. Oh, that thou wouldst look in this morning upon that finished work. Oh, that thou wouldst hear him when he is before thy throne, and that thou wouldst hear his supplication. Wilt thou give unto us those gifts which are flowing forth from his blessed mediatorial work? O Lord, would it not be so to thy honor? Would it not be so to thy glory? When in this morning hour there may be a religious man, a religious woman, a religious young person that may become a publican and that would have to smite upon his breast and to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, that would have to lose everything that he thought to build his salvation upon, all his goodness, all his righteousness, all his wisdom, all his strength and all his works. O Lord, that thou would open the blind eyes, and wilt thou bring it all to nothing in a moment, and wilt thou make us to see what we are when we are still in that same state as in which we are born, and that we are lying polluted in our own blood. Oh, that we are cast out in the open field. Oh, that we are so worthy that thou wouldst pass us by and that thou wouldst cast us away out of thy sight. But, oh, could it please thee by the power of thy Spirit to come in this morning hour and in thy mercy and in thy grace to pass by and to say unto us, live. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to make it evident in this morning hour that thou still livest and that thou art at the right hand of power. Oh, that we may not only have to speak of it in the midst of our flock, but that we also may experience it all together. Oh, that the children, that the parents, that the old ones, oh, that all of us together may be witnesses of thy power, even in this morning hour, and when thou wilt raise up that new life that begins to hunger and to thirst, yea, to pant after thee, as the hart panteth for the brooks of water. Oh, then that wonder shall become evident in thy time in the midst of us as a congregation. Oh, how then each one together shall see and that it is a mighty work. Oh, how then it shall be experienced that thou hast a mighty arm and that thou art still stretching it forth in the days in which we are living. Oh, Lord, then it shall be so evident and that it is not the work of a man, but that it is the work of thy irresistible Holy Spirit that is able to stop a man in his way, to turn him again unto thee. Oh, what a hope should be born, Lord, in the midst of us as a congregation, young and old, and when it may take place among us as it has taken place in the days of old. Oh, then it shall be that there are others that are crying out unto thee for the application of thy Holy Spirit also. Oh, would it not tend to the increasing of thy church, to the bringing in of thy kingdom, to the completion of that 144,000 that have the names of thy Father written in their foreheads. O Lord, do it then for thy great name's sake. Wilt thou strengthen all thy truly sent servants? O increase their number. Wilt thou help the students? Could it please thee to bring thy word to the ends of the earth and not to forget us in the established congregations who are daily by our rejecting of thee, working out our own destruction. Help us this day. Oh, help us this morning in the preaching of thy holy word. Lord, who is sufficient for these things, oh, give us to feel something of thy nearness, of thy presence, of thy help. And may it be that we may say it was good for us to be here, for the Lord was in our midst. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste. In which no waters be, in which no waters be. We announce that the condolences for the mourning family will be held, if the Lord willing, on Monday evening at 7:30 to 8:30 in the Lethbridge Church. The funeral is scheduled for Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock in Lethbridge. Also, the Lord willing, a male members meeting is to be held here in Fort McLeod on Wednesday, June the 18th at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of electing an elder and also other business. Next week's extra collection is for the North American General Mission. Today's last collection is for our school. Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning can be found in the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, and thereof the 24th chapter. Luke 24, the 49th verse. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So far in the words of our text. Christ instructs his disciples concerning the promise of the Father. First, the promiser. Second, the substance of the promise. And third, tarrying for the promise. Christ instructs his disciples concerning the promise of the Father. First, the promiser. Second, the substance of the promise. And third, tarrying for the promise. Congregation, we read in God's word about Jezebel. And she has asked her husband, Ahab, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And what was the reason? Our children will know it. You say Ahab was very greatly disappointed. He said to Jezebel, his wife, I have spoken unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Thus, there was in the life of Ahab a very great disappointment. And why? Because there was an expectation. And that expectation that did not come to pass in his own mind already, children, and Ahab, he has already seen himself that he owned that vineyard. He has contrived it in his mind how he can get that vineyard. He will pay a good sum of money for it, or whatever will please Naboth. And certainly, he thinks then this is going to prevail. And yet, that expectation that was not realized, then Naboth, he says, no, he could not give him his vineyard. That was against that law of the Lord. And so Ahab, he is very much disappointed. How much disappointment there is in this world, not before the fall, but after the fall. Day by day, and then disappointment that is being experienced amongst fallen mankind in this world. That expectations that men have, they are not being realized. Where do expectations come from? Well, in our text, then we read about a promise, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Thus a promise. What is a promise? Promise has to do with the future. That a promise is something that is raising the expectation of a person, that he that he is going to receive something or that something is going to happen. Where did that expectation come from in the life of Ahab? You say about Ahab, he has brought that expectation in himself. He has actually promised that vineyard unto himself. Congregation, do we not also do the same? Or do you do that too, young people? Then we promise to ourselves in our life maybe riches in this world. And when we view the future and we will work with all our might, and then we see ourselves already in that condition in this world, where we are sitting as it were on top of the world. Or perhaps we promise to ourselves honor. Or perhaps we promise to ourselves a certain status. Or that we promise certain power unto ourselves. Those are some of the most unhappy people in the world. Because how many of those promises that we make to ourselves are never realized? And he who expects nothing, he is the one who is happy with anything. But then it is also just the opposite. He who expects everything or such high things, he is happy with nothing. Maybe we promise to ourselves a long life, that we are going to live for many years. Congregation, we would ask in this morning, who of us does not promise to himself a long life? We read in the Bible, they call their lands after their own name. It is our expectation that we are going to remain here forever. Which of you does not promise to yourself tomorrow? Which of us expects that our life is going to end today? A congregation, what right have we to promise to ourselves one more hour, one more moment? And we see it is not reality. And yet it is so common. Yet it is living in the heart of every one of us. Do we promise to ourselves eternal life? Do we promise ourselves heaven? Oh, how many are not disappointed with an expectation that they go through this world with, but so disappointed when they are coming to the end of their life. There are also promises that are given by other people, that we promise not to ourselves, but that another is promising unto us. And how many of those promises in this world are never being realized? How much disappointment. We read that the butler forgot Joseph. What a disappointment. We read of that son, he said to his father, I go, sir. But he went not. Oh, what a disappointment to fathers and mothers concerning their children, and how many disappointments because of promises that are never fulfilled in this world. But our text that says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Congregation, who can fathom that? The promise of my Father, that is the promise of God Himself. Who can fathom that the Lord, that the God of the heavens and of the earth, He is making a promise unto mankind, because He is obligated to no one. He sits upon His throne. He does moment by moment, from eternity to eternity, just what pleases Him. But by the word of a promise, He is binding Himself. Then we can understand that He makes a promise unto His Son. But we read more than that, that He is also making promises in His Word unto mankind, that they are coming even unto fallen mankind. Oh, do we ever seek that the promises that the Lord is making in His Word, they are also applied unto us, because we live in the midst of a world that is applying the promises of the Lord unto themselves. But that will not help us. That will not give us the fulfillment of that promise. Then a man only needs to maintain it himself. But how different that it is when the Lord is coming to give the application of those promises. When the Lord is making room for that promise. And when the Lord is making such a promise suitable for the soul of His children. O congregation, then a man does not have to maintain anything, because then everything that is taken care of from another side, that is from the side of the Lord, that can take a long time. And because it can take a long time, there can be so many questions in the hearts of God's children also about that promise. We read it even of Abraham. The Lord has promised him that his seed that would be as the stars of heaven for multitude. But the time was so long. And then it became, humanly speaking, so impossible. The time is gone. The time is past. The opportunity is past. That Abraham thinks that he needs to do something different. That maybe he needs, as it were, to help the Lord a little bit to fulfill that promise. Thus he is taking Hagar unto himself. And when he is establishing himself in his own work, then the Lord, He is coming again with that promise that is from Him, that He Himself will fulfill. And He is saying to Abraham, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Oh, what did that not do to all the work of Abraham? Oh, then all the labor of Abraham, all the ingenuity of Abraham, that is all falling by the wayside. Oh, then he is ashamed of everything that is coming from his own side. What did Paul say? He said, God gave it unto Abraham by promise. By promise. By the simple promise of his own word. Then Abraham would not have to do it. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Or what determines the reliability of the promise? How do we know when we can rely on that promise? If, boys and girls, someone promises you something that you know they cannot do, then you say, I do not even expect it. So first, we have to have the ability. And in the second place, that must be a person who keeps his word. Oh, that is now the wonder of receiving such a promise from the Lord. Why? Because of the ability, because of the might, because of the power, but also because of the faithfulness of the Lord, that his purpose never changes. Know that he is the unchangeable God. And that is what is making the word of the Lord, that is what is making the promise of the Lord so sure unto his children. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Who says that? That is the Lord Jesus. Then he is declaring in the first place his divinity. He says, it is my Father. And he says, I will send that promise. And that he makes himself equal unto his Father. That he is going to do the divine work. But not only so, there is also a confirmation. And that he is confirming that word of the promise unto his disciples. What is that for? A confirmation, that is congregation, an acknowledgement of weakness, an acknowledgement of the weakness of faith, that is children, they are not always able to hold on to that, that the Lord, he is bowing himself, as it were, that when he may see the need of his people in the weakness of that faith, that he is coming to them again, that he is speaking unto them again, that he is saying unto them, surely, most surely, I will do it for you. So there was, boys and girls, when we read of Gideon, then we know that the Lord spoke to Gideon, but that Gideon, he was so afraid. All that enemy, they lay as grasshoppers. And then Gideon, he was not sure. And he is asking the Lord for a sign. Lord, is this really thy word? Is this really thee that speaketh unto me? Wilt thou surely do this? And then he is seeking that sign from the Lord with the fleece. And then also a second time. And then the Lord, he is in his goodness, in his long suffering. And then he is confirming that word unto Gideon. And then even more than Gideon is asking, because the Lord is telling him later also to go down to the tent of that enemy. Oh, how good is the Lord. Even in the sinfulness, even for the weakness of his own children, when they are not able to take hold of his own word. He knoweth their frame. He knoweth, we read in God's word, that we are dust. But what is now that promise, that as our second thought, the substance of this promise? What is the first promise, children, that we read of in the Bible? You know that. That is in Genesis 3. Then the Lord spake. To whom was he speaking? He was speaking actually to the devil. But in speaking to the devil, in the hearing of our first parents, then he was speaking also unto our first parents. And then he is speaking about the seed of that woman. He is saying that he will send that seed, and that seed shall come, and that seed shall be strong. That seed shall be stronger than that temptation, Eve, that came to you, that deceived you. It will be stronger than that prince of darkness, Adam. who has brought you with all your posterity now into that dust of death, or that seed of that woman, the strength of that seed that shall be stronger than the strength of the devil. And he shall overtake him, and he shall bruise his head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Thus, he is promising, he is speaking about the Son of God. He is speaking about that Savior of his church. How long did that church now wait for the fulfillment of that promise? Was 4,000 years, long time, very long time. For 4,000 years, that church has looked back upon that promise, that word of the Lord. Oh, then from time to time, the Lord in his goodness and in his long suffering has come again. And then he has repeated it unto his church, and not only repeated it to them, but he has given step by step more clarity in that promise. And then, after 4,000 years, oh, young people, you say maybe sometimes it takes so long. Oh, when it takes a month, when it takes several months, when it will take a few years, you say that is such a long time. Oh, has that promiser even remembered anymore what he has spoken to me? But after 4,000 years, then the fulfillment of that promise of the Lord is coming. Cannot be otherwise. Cannot be otherwise because of the faithfulness of the Lord. It cannot be otherwise because of the attributes of the Lord. It cannot be otherwise, because if it was otherwise, then the Lord would not be the Lord. Then God would not be God. And thus, after 4,000 years, and then that fulfillment of that promise that is finally being realized. But now, what does that have to do with in the words of our text? But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. Thus it has congregation to do with power. Power that is much sought after in this world. For various reasons, persons are seeking after power. Some of them may be for protection, but mostly it has to do with the pride of men. All young people, we hear of these martial arts that some are practicing, the judo, the taekwondo, and then there is something in there of the desire for power, that I am unconquerable. That is in it. I'd like to ask you a question. How did Goliath die? How was Goliath slain? Was that by a man, a young man, who was unconquerable? Say it was by a sling and a stone. That was just the means, even. We give them to our little boys. What was it by? It was by faith. It was by faith. Do you know what we read here? The Lord Jesus, he speaks about power from on high. All that is what David experienced, didn't he? David experienced a power from on high. Oh, do we also seek then that same power that David knew? What did David say? The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion. The Lord delivered me from the paw of the bear. Oh, can we say that too, congregation? And it was these deliverances that made David to look forward in the face of that mighty enemy, that not one of the children of Israel would dare go forward to, but that they fled from day after day. But David says, the Lord, he will deliver me from the might of this enemy. Power from where? Power from on high. Oh, is that not now the greatest power? The greatest power that a man can ever receive here upon this earth. That is power by which miracles are performed. That is power by which the very devil is cast out. That is power by which the Lord Jesus says, if you had the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you would say to that mountain, be you removed and cast into the sea, and it shall obey you. Power. Power from on high. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. We say it is a confirmation. Why? Because the Lord Jesus said this before. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Thus, when the Lord Jesus speaks about being endued with this power from on high, then he is speaking about the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost then a power? No, the Holy Ghost is much more than a power. He is not just a mere power. The Holy Ghost is a person. He is one of the three persons of the adorable Godhead. Thus, it is a promise, not now of the second person who was to come, that the Father would send the Lord Jesus. But now, when the Lord Jesus is leaving this world, then there is another promise. And that is the promise of the sending of that third person. The promise of the sending of the Holy Spirit. No, not a mere power, but he that endues, we read, endues with power. Congregation, there is a church that needs that power. They need that power that is from on high. Why? Because of their weakness. Oh, do you know that? Do you know a need for that power too? God's people are no match for Satan. God's people are no match for sin. God's people are no match for temptation. Paul was no match for temptation. Paul says, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. He says, I am weak. I am weak against Satan. I am weak against sin. I am weak against temptation. Then it is as those Ammonites and those Moabites, Jehoshaphat, he says, we have no might against that great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. Oh, do you say that too sometimes? For all that might of the devil and everything that is coming, parents, the many temptations and that are now facing our children and that were not known in the days of old. They are becoming more and more subtle. They are becoming more and more powerful. They are coming closer and closer unto our families. They are entering into our homes. Oh, they are so near and dear to the evil and wretched desires that are living in our hearts. Satan and the power of Satan. Oh, do you say, I am weak? Oh, I am weak against all that power. What did Jehoshaphat say? He says, but our eyes are upon thee. Because he says, though we have no strength, he says, Lord, thou hast the power. Oh, do you feel something of the power of death? When you are coming and going from the house of the Lord, when you say now we hear in our community, now we see a family, oh, they are cast into mourning. No, then we do not need to be so old. Oh, then my day, then my time, then my hour is coming, and where death is also going to creep into my windows. Oh, then how I need to be converted. Oh, how I need to be born again. Oh, how I need that portion of God's children. But you say, I have no power. Oh, I have a dead heart. Oh, then I feel something. I am so dead in trespasses and in sins. And then I can hear it with my ears. And I can think, yes, that is the truth. But I have no power. I feel no power. Oh, there is not in it that which I feel, which I know, which I hear is so necessary. Oh, congregation, how necessary was that power for the disciples? They were sent out. They were sent out into all the world. They were sent out unto the heathens. They were sent out unto the Gentiles, unto a world that was dead, that was in rebellion. They were weak men. Had they experienced something of the power of the hope they had? They rejoiced when the Lord Jesus had sent them out. And when they experienced that even the devils were cast out when they spoke in his name. Oh, then they returned to the Lord Jesus and they rejoiced. But what do we read? Then there was also that lunatic child. And they could not cast him out. And why not? Oh, then the Lord makes them to feel something of what? Of their own weakness. Oh, that without him, they were not able to do anything. And now what do we read? The Lord Jesus says to his disciples, when he makes them to experience something of their self-weakness, then he promises to them power. He says, you shall be endued with power from on high. You shall be endued with my Holy Spirit. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, congregation, that is power. The disciples will not be able to do that. We are not able to do that. Oh, who is able to convince a man of sin? Who can make a man sorry for sin? Who can make that sin to be a burden that is weighing on him day by day as he is going over this world? Who can make a man weep one true tear that he has sinned against a good-doing God? Who is able to give a man life? Who is able to give a man a desire? Who is able to renew the heart? Who is able to renew the will? Who is able to give him new affections? There is no one. Oh, who is able to stop a man? Oh, did we ever see a man? That happens, we say, so little in our days. Did we ever see a man whom the Lord has stopped on his evil way, whom the Lord has turned about, and in whom we could see visibly in his life something the effects of the power of that Holy Spirit to make him love the Lord, to make him hate sin. That is congregation power. Until ye be endued with power from on high. The disciples could not do without it. We cannot do without it. But do we then do the same as those disciples did? But we will sing first. 399, 2 and 4. To every generation thy glory shall be told. Thy honor and thy majesty in memory I will hold. And thy mighty power and greatness shall all mankind confess and tell the story of thy love and sing thy righteousness. 2 and 4 of Psalter 399. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That is our third thought, tarrying for the promise. The disciples, they were called by the Lord. They were called by the Lord for the work of the ministry. And we can read that the disciples, they were given understanding. In those 40 days, that the Lord Jesus had been with them. And then we read how that he opened the scriptures and he gave them to understand what the prophets did mean and all what his suffering was for his church. They were given understanding. And then in a small way, then those disciples, they were sent out not too far. They were sent out just to that nation of Israel, and that they may do there a little work while the Lord Jesus was still upon the earth. But that great work of apostleship that actually that was not yet begun, nor were the disciples permitted even to begin it. They were actually forbidden. He says, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That is, with the Holy Spirit. Did the disciples not have the presence of the Holy Spirit? Surely they did. That is, that Spirit that comes and that dwells, that takes up his abode in the heart, in the life of every one of God's children. But the apostleship, that was more than just an ordinary work. That was a work which would be extraordinary, and that would require extraordinary gifts from the Lord. Thus, a special power for a special office. Those disciples are promised a power that they did not possess. The Lord says, I will qualify you, but you may not run before me. Because if you run before me, then you go without those qualifications. There is no man that is qualified of himself, no matter how many natural gifts he may have. Paul had many gifts, but even Paul, he had to say, who is now sufficient for these things? But now faithful is the Lord that calleth his servants to endue them with that power from on high. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Tarry, what does that mean? That means to wait. And waiting, that is not easy, is it, children? If you receive a promise from your mother, your father, now you have to wait for it. That is not easy. And then you say, when will the time come? And you are longing and longing and you are looking and you're looking for that waiting time to be done so that you may have it. Those disciples, they also had to wait, and that was not easy, especially because those disciples were also conscious of that new understanding, that opening of those scriptures. But understanding is not sufficient. Understanding is not a calling. Understanding is not a sending. Understanding is not power. Understanding convicts no one. Understanding convinces no one. Thus they had to tarry. Calvin says it was a trial of their obedience. And those that want to receive the admiration of men, they are very desirous to be in the public. But those disciples are also conscious of their weakness, of their insufficiency. And now what do we read of the disciples after the ascension of the Lord Jesus? Then we read that they returned unto Jerusalem. Oh, that is now that blessed obedience. And what did they take with them to Jerusalem? What do you think, boys and girls? They took something with them in their heart. They took the promise. promise. Thus, there is in their heart an expectation. They are looking for something. They are waiting for something. And what do we do? What do they do with it? We read, and they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren, continued in prayer and supplication. For what? For the fulfillment. For the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. You say, was that necessary? The Lord was going to give it. He gave the promise. And then he will also give the fulfillment. That is true. But the Lord says that he will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And thus, when the Lord is going to give that blessing, the Lord is also going to give something else. That is a supplication. That is a place at the throne of grace. That is that there is a cry that is ascending unto heaven. Thus those disciples, they do not become lazy with that promise. And God's children, when it is right, they also do not become lazy when the Lord gives to them such a promise. But those disciples become active. And if there is a people they are happy just to have the promise, then something is certainly wrong. Our littlest children can understand that. No, when it is right, then they are seeking for the fulfillment of that promise. Thus, there is an activity. And what is that activity? That is beggary. That is beggary. That is to continue in prayer and supplication. O congregation, are there such people in our midst that are become beggars? That are become beggars with that promise of the Lord, that he is going to send forth his Holy Spirit? Or are there those that cannot do without it because of that death state? Are there those that feel the weakness, that experience that weakness, that have a desire that that weakness would be taken away and that they may receive something of that power that the Lord gives unto all his children? Oh, are there people that beg for that power, especially on the Sabbath morn, that they say, Lord, that I may see thy power and thy glory in thy sanctuary in this day? Is that where you were, children, before you come here this morning? Were you on your knees? Oh, did you beg for us that we may receive power? We have nothing. Oh, did you ask for yourself and that you also may know that power? Are there those who are no strangers of that power? When you look back in your life, that you say, yes, then I know, then I have experienced something, if it be ever so small, of that power. But it is gone. But I need it again. You say, I can tell of it, but I cannot give myself to taste the sweetness again. I cannot give myself to experience the power of it again. Oh, that power that has such a drawing force. When I may experience that power, oh, then this world that means nothing anymore in those moments. Then my heart may be set on the things above, my affections. Oh, that has such a sanctifying power And then I have a desire with all my heart that I may flee from sin, O Lord, and that I may experience that power once again, and then I will sing of thy power. David said, I feel thy power on every side, O wondrous knowledge, awful might, unfathomed depth, unmeasured height. O Lord, for thy power, O people of the Lord, may you tell something sometimes of that power that you may have experienced in your life, how the Lord stopped you when you were in the power of the prince of darkness, when you had no other desire than to live it out in this world, maybe coming to that house of God out of form and custom all your life long, or maybe from the world. Then the Lord spake. Then the Lord came, and then you could not take one step anymore. Oh, may you tell something of that power. May you tell something how that power has drawn you, how that you have been instructed in that power. Oh, may you tell something of the leadings of the Lord and how powerful that they are, then not only in this life, how that the Lord is guiding everything in the way of his providence, but also in those spiritual things. Oh, that power to humble you, to bring you so low, when your heart that is so quickly lifted up. Oh, may you ever tell something, a little something, of his power. David, he says, Lord, thou hast taught me from my youth. Oh, children, will you be able to say that one day like David, that the Lord has taught me from my youth? Oh, what a blessing that is, because then there is a power there to keep you from sin. And then the Lord is putting a fence, he is putting a wall about his people. And then you will be so thankful someday, do not believe it, young people, that you say the Lord can easier convert me if I live it up in this world than I can be converted like a Saul. No. Oh, there are so many things for which Saul grieved of what he had done in his life. I am the least, he says, of all of the servants of the Lord. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. Oh, no. Do not follow in the ways of sin. Oh, when the Lord will convert you in your youth, when you will feel something of the power of that drawing love, oh, then how you will be kept from many things that you will not have to grieve over when you become older. And David, he says, when he became old, then he says, oh, Lord, now I am old and gray-headed. O Lord, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to those that are to come. Oh, he had a desire that he may tell it to the generation following, that they may also hear something of that might, of that power of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Oh, the power of his anger, yes, against sin. But then that overcoming power of his love, oh, that power of his judgments, and the power of his grace that is wide as the ocean. Congregation, oh, may there ever remain in our midst a people who are not able to do without his power. We cannot convert ourselves. No, that is impossible. And you hear that over and over, young people. Then it is not the work of a man to convert himself. You hear it over and over. And that a man is dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, that makes you maybe discouraged. No, then there is no reason to be discouraged. Oh, Ethan, he sang about the promise of the Lord. Oh, that promise, he says, was the same as in the days of yore. And then he spoke about that power, his word. His word, he says, that is faithful now as it was then. Oh, he promised. He promised to send forth his Holy Spirit that has not been taken back. Let us continue then in that prayer and supplication with the disciples, with our children, with our old people who say it is so impossible. I have lived my whole life. I have never experienced yet that power of that Holy Spirit. Oh, for that prayer, and that prayer and supplication just to be a beggar and to say, Lord, do now. Do now what we cannot do, but do as thou hast said and do as thou hast promised. Oh, hath he said it and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Amen. Oh, Lord, cause us to do as those disciples, when they were in that time of waiting. Then thou saidst to tarry, but then they were so active all together, praying and supplicating unto thee. Oh, could it please thee to work that prayer and supplication in each and every one of us? As us as thy servant, oh, give it more and more earnestly, and unto each and every one of us together, oh, that thou may hear also the intercession of thine only begotten Son, who does fill his people with groanings that cannot be uttered. Bring us safely to our places, forgiving all that was sinful and blessing thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. 4:15, 3, and 10. Call to mind, O Lord Jehovah, tender mercies manifold, and thy store of loving kindness, which has ever been of old. Sins of youth, remember not, nor recall my hid transgression. For thy goodness' sake, O God, think of me in thy compassion. 3 and 10 of Psalter 415. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.